Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those watching with us today. I have a message today that you'll probably have to really think about this message and pray about it to see how it might apply in your life. And it's called, Are You Sure It's a Blessing? Are You Sure It's a Blessing? And in the end times, Satan, as we know, controls commercial Babylon and the global government that's being formed before our eyes. And he will entice and give physical blessings, sometimes, you know, to the world and even to believers, to tempt them to stay in the system. And this is why we see so many of the powerful people and rich people in the world today are what? They're politicians and people that are part of Satan's system. But I want to show this in Luke 4. I want to start verse 5 through 8. Luke 4, verse 5 through 8. It says, in leading him, Yeshua, you know, the serpent, the devil, is leading Yeshua up into a high mountain. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give all this authority and their glory to you because it has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Then if you worship before me, all will be yours, right? So just like we see today, Satan is offering all these material things out there in the world, right? If you worship him, how do you worship him? By being part of the system, right? By being part of that system and not coming out of the system and being part of Yahweh. And what does Yeshua say, answering him? He says, go behind me, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. So this is the choice that's there, right? There's no other choice. You either serve Yahweh 100% and him only, or you serve, and not necessarily serve, you know, worshiping Satan, like praying to him or something, but you worship him by being part of that system and allowing him to bless you by that. And if we go back to verse 3 and 4, it says, and the devil says to him, to Yeshua again, if you are the son of Elohim, speak to this stone that it become bread. And Yeshua answered him saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. So here it is again, as we know with the mark of the beast coming, right? You can't buy or sell, that Satan can even tempt believers with even just something as simple as food, right? In that day that's going to come. So, if we go to Revelation 12, and like I said, this is one you're really going to have to think about as we go into it and pray about to see, is there something in your life that maybe you're thinking is a blessing and actually it's not? It's coming from the evil one. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent being called the devil and Satan, right? No doubt who he is. He deceiving the whole inhabitable world, right? I go over the scripture 100 different times in 100 different ways. Satan has deceived the whole world and was cast onto the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him, his demons. And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one that accuses them day and night before Elohim, right? So today we see other ways. How else is he accusing them? Through fake news, right? People that are against abortion, that are being marked, people that, you know, as simple as owning a bakery and not wanting to make a cake for a homosexual, a gay couple, or whatever, they're being marked, they're being accused, right? So in this society today, if you believe in Yahweh in any way, and you're living your life that way, you're accused. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their soul even until death, right? So they're putting Yahweh first before everything. They're not worried about the mark of the beast. They're not worried about money. They're not worried about how they're going to pay these things in Satan's society. Because of this, be glad the heavens and those dwelling in them. Woe to the ones dwelling on the earth, right, to us. And in the sea, because the devil came down to you having great anger, knowing his time is short. And praise Yahweh for that, that this time is not going to be a long time on the earth. You know, 42 months is the time he's given. And when the dragon story was cast onto the earth, he pursued the woman who bore the man-child, right, the bride, the congregation. Two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman that she might fly to the wilderness, to her place, right, where she's nourished there for a time and half a time, So we see what happens. The woman is not, when Satan is taken off society, she's not being part of it. She is fleeing from it. And the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a river after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried off by the river. So what happens when the woman is trying to get away from this system of commercial Babylon? She's being pursued. And how does he pursue her? It says, you know, over here he's saying with water, right, like a river. But sometimes he's pursuing her by trying to keep her in the system, right? As you're trying to come out of the system, he's trying to not with things you would think, not with trying to harm your health or these other things, because he can't, he doesn't have power to do that anyway, but by actually giving you what some people think are blessings, giving you a raise at work, you know, giving you more money. So that's why I ask, are you sure it's a blessing? Matthew 24 in verse 21 and 22. Because that's one way Satan is keeping people from fleeing the system, is by making them, like in the Godfather movie, right? Would he say, I'm going to make an offer, I can't refuse. And that's what Satan is doing in a lot of ways in this world. He's making people offers they can't refuse, right? And we're going to see how he does that and why he does that. And like I said, it's something you're really going to have to think about, because maybe in your life, there's something where you've been thinking, wow, this is a great blessing by Yahweh. And actually, it's been a trap by the serpent. Matthew 24:21-22. For there will be great suffering, such as not has happened from the beginning of the world until now, nor will ever be. And except those days were shortened, not any flesh would live, but on account of the chosen, those days will be shortened. So it's going to be horrible. We haven't seen anything yet, but praise Yahweh, those days will be shortened for the elect. And then look what he says. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up, and they will give great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So the deception is not just going to be from Satan, but from false people, the religious people thinking. And look what he says, behold, I tell you beforehand. And I tell you today, behold, I tell you beforehand. Because I'm telling you today so that you won't be deceived. Things get so corrupted that even the elect could be deceived. But that's the key, that if you allow what Satan did in the Garden of Eden, and we're going to go over that, to maybe tempt you in your life, then maybe you will fall to it. So it's interesting that Satan is called the serpent in Revelation 12, just like he was called in Genesis, because he uses the same deception in the end time to trick believers into believing they will get a blessing by following him in the system of commercial Babylon, just like he tried to tempt Yeshua with, but didn't work, of course. Instead of the truth that they are actually cursing themselves. And sometimes I see that people do this. They make a wrong decision, right, for money. Maybe they take a better job, or, you know, they move away from brethren to get a better, higher paying job or whatever. And then all of a sudden everything starts going wrong here, going wrong there. And then they're wondering, what did I do? Why did this happen? You know, and it's because if you're doing it only for money, and that's the key. We're going to see, I'll keep saying that here. The key is, because how do you know? How do you know if it's from Satan or from Yahweh? Well, is it drawing you closer to Yahweh? Is it drawing you closer to the world? That's the main thing that you need to see. You know, and if it's drawing you closer to the world, it may be more money, it may be more vacation time, maybe more insurance or whatever it could be, but it actually, you're going to curse yourself. So let's go to Genesis 3 and let's see this. Let's see the same deception that Satan used way back in the beginning of time. And the serpent, Genesis 3:1, right? Like I said, in Revelation 12, he's called the serpent. Here he's called the serpent who was cunning. He was clever, right? And sneaky. Above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim had said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? See, the same thing. What he does is, Satan has a lot of questions, but he doesn't have any answers. And that's what happens sometimes, like something like the calendar, right? And I don't know if I've ever seen a topic that people had more questions, more, you know, undecisiveness. And yet, there's not a lot of different things. If you don't start the year by the equinox, there's not a lot of other ways you can start the year. Some do it by barley, which isn't in scripture, right? It's the heavenly signs, the sun, the moon, the stars. It's not barley. But sometimes when I'm talking to people and you explain, they're like, well, I just don't know. And I'm like, well, if you're not starting by the equinox, which I showed you all the scriptures that say it, then what else would you use? And they're like, I don't know. So that's the point. That's the way Satan works. Satan doesn't want to give you answers. He just wants to give you questions. And as long as you're questioning the truth, it's the opposite of faith. So then you're not walking in faith, and then you're done. Then he has you, right? That's how you're serving him, by not walking in faith. If you're not walking in faith, you're serving him. It's not that you're bowing to him. It's not that you're saying prayers to him or telling him what a great guy he is. All you have to do is doubt, and then he's got you where he wants you. And that's why he does this. He asks questions, right? Is it so that Elohim said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? He knew it was true. He knew that it wasn't true. He knew he was twisting this, right? But that's what he does. He tries to put questions in your mind to question the truth and twist it. And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim had said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Right? So isn't that kind of interesting that you would think that Yahweh would put, if there's a tree he doesn't want you to touch, you would think he'd put it way outside, right? Like when you're looking at the camp of Israel, if there was something that you shouldn't touch, it would probably be outside the camp, right? Not inside the camp. And yet, where does he put the tree that he says don't touch? Right in the middle, right? He says it, the tree in the middle of the garden, which is kind of interesting. If you compare that to today, right, it's the same thing. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get out of society. And if you're in the middle of society, that's where you're going to get burned. That's where you're going to bring curses to yourself. So it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of society and you have a nice house, if you have a good job, you have a lot of money, everything seems to be going good. Because as long as you're in the middle of society there, you're going to get burned. You have to leave it. You have to go to the wilderness. And how do you go to wilderness? By coming out of it. So it's really interesting here in the Garden of Eden, the same way that the tree that they weren't supposed to come near was right in the middle, right? So it was, if you're in the middle, it's hard to get away from it. It's hard to get away from the temptation. So that's why we have to be outside of the system, because the temptation is just too great when you're in there, because it's not just like something that's really, really bad. No, sometimes the temptation are things that are good. Sometimes the temptation is a better job, more money, a higher raise, better car, right? And these things that we're thinking are blessings, when really they're not, they're temptations. So the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. So what does he say? Nah, don't listen. It's not going to happen. For Elohim knows in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the tree was, remember, good for food, right? Just like the mark of the beast will give you food. It was pleasant to the eyes, right? So if you take that mark, it's going to be something that looks real good. It's going to be something that looks pleasant, not something that looks bad. And desirable to make one wise. Wow, you take that mark, you take that chip, and you're gonna know how to play the piano, you're gonna know how to do all these things. You're not even gonna have to practice it, because they're just downloaded into your brain, right? And she took of the fruit of the tree and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here it is, right? And the rest is history. So they thought they were receiving a physical blessing in food, right? Everything looked really good. It was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise, but they actually wound up being naked, losing the covering of Yahweh, right? So they actually wind up cursing themselves and said, Satan is deceiving believers with the same false lies today and enticing them with things that are physically, physically pleasing to the flesh, with high-paying jobs and pay a lot of money, a lot of perks, insurance, vacation time, like I said, all these different things, but will destroy the person's soul. Because it's not easy when you come out of commercial Babylon. It's not easy when you're not part of this world system, right? You can't buy and sell. That's the way you pay your bills. That's the way you survive, right? But you can't do it when you're not part of that. So it will destroy the person's soul, and worldly education and Satan's system will make one more worldly, wiser, and Satan society, but will make them spiritually naked and quench the rock. And this is what I wonder, even in Africa, you know, and in Asia, why are people coercing, pushing their children to go to worldly education? It is the, do you realize you're not talking about a one-day class? You're talking about 10 years, 15 years of indoctrinating children's lives. The most impressionable part of their life from the time, you know, they're 5, 6, 7 years old all the way up until they're in their early 20s. And to send them to public school, it's not public school, it's satanic school. To send them there and every single day be indoctrinated with these things. Wow. You know, desirable to make one wise, right? But what does Ecclesiastes 1:18 say? You don't have to go there. I'll just read it. It says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases pain." So knowledge doesn't necessarily make you happier. It may, yeah, by getting scholarships in Satan society. That's what he does, right? He gives scholarships and, wow, go to school, go to college. And you don't see too many that stay with the faith. And like I said, when I was in church, I got 80% or more of the second generation didn't stay with the truth. Why? Because they were being indoctrinated by Satan's school system their whole life. So, like I said, it increases pain, actually, like it says in Ecclesiastes here, and doesn't necessarily make you happier, but it takes you away from Yahweh. Not all physical things, such as jobs, worldly education, bigger houses and cars, are blessings from Yahweh, right? They can be. I'm not saying they're never a blessing from Yahweh. A lot of times they are a blessing from Yahweh, if he's blessing you. But in living in commercial Babylon, you really have to pray about it and think about it, because probably more than not, they're not. That's what people think about in this world. Everything they look at in commercial Babylon, as far as blessing goes, they look at physical things, right? Hey, you know, before when we weren't in the truth, you know, we had a lot of money, or you had a great job. Now, you know, you came into this crazy religion and you had to give up your job. Now we're making less money. Now we don't live as good. Now we don't take as many vacations. But all that stuff is toward pleasing the flesh and covetous spirit. And none of it is toward pleasing Yahweh. So, you know, you really have to think about it. You know, why do we want, or why does anybody want more mammon? Why does anybody want more? Is it for the work of Yahweh, or isn't it? And like I said, unfortunately, in the third world, many people don't even tithe, you know? But they want that education for their children because they think that it's going to give them a better life, and it's not. It's actually going to take their eternal life. It's really, really sad. So not all physical things such as job, worldly education, bigger houses and cars are blessings from Yahweh, but in times we live in, many are simply traps, right? They're temptations and traps by the serpent, as he did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So in that garden, right, it probably looked really, like I said, it looked good. It was over there, good for food, you know, desirable to make one wise, pleasant to the eyes. What can go wrong? What can go wrong? And everything went wrong. It changed the course of the whole world from that point and put us on this 6,000-year collision course with disaster, what's coming up now. You know, with Yahweh taking control back. So, as the God of this world, Satan does have the authority to give you good jobs, right? And this is why do so many politicians and so many actors and athletes and all these evil people, that a lot of them are literally Satanists. They are Satanists. It's not that they don't even know what they're doing. A lot of these guys at the top literally are Satanists, you know? Satan has the authority to give good jobs that pay a lot, big houses that are comfortable. And many times you're selling your soul to get it. Matthew 6:19. He says, "Do not treasure up for you treasures on the earth, where moth and rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves dig in and steal." So, you know, we know about that. We've seen it even with some of our Shemitah food. Not a lot, but a little bit of it. We saw how moths got in, you know, and you couldn't eat it. You know, you had to throw it away. So he's saying, don't get treasures where that's going to happen, where moths and rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves dig in to steal. But treasure up for you treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves do not dig through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? Your heart meaning your mind, the thing that's most dear to you. And if it is money you're looking for, then you will coerce yourself that, oh yeah, taking the job and being around a bad environment, because that's one of the major things. Environment is 90% of your battle. And years and years ago, even when I was a new believer, I knew I would not take it. I didn't care if they were paying me $1 million a day. I would not stay in a job that had a bad environment, because I knew how much that was going to affect my mind and affect my spirit. So that's the first thing you have to ask yourself, you know, if it is a job or even a place to live, you know, if you're looking, you have to move to a place. What's the environment in that place? Because if you think about it in life, beside the brethren, but even brethren, who are the people you wind up becoming closest with beside your family? It's people you're with. Brethren that could be in your local congregation, people you work with, neighbors that are next to you. That's the people that you see and meet are the people that you're going to become friends with. That's just logic. You're not becoming friends with somebody you never met before, someone you don't know. So when you put yourself, when you're moving to a new area, moving to a new place, what's the environment there? You know, and are you even checking it out beforehand to know who the neighbors are? I know one time in Israel, we didn't know it. We were living, and it was way up in the Golan Heights. We thought we were way away from everything. And it wound up, we were living next door to a witch, a real witch, somebody that people, she was a fortune teller, and somebody that people came from all over the world to pay money to see this lady. You know, and it wasn't a good situation. Praise Yahweh, we were able to get out of there. But this is why I say, you know, that Satan sometimes is deceiving people today, you know, with some of these lies. And the same as he did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He is the God of this world, and he has the authority to offer these things to people. And is your eye on mammon or spiritual things? The Laodicean compromises trying to serve two masters. That's the top of the Laodicean. He's so blinded that he's thinking, well, okay, you know what? I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for Bible study. You know, I don't have time for my family. I don't have time to do any ministry to Yahweh. But I'm making a lot of money. I'm making a lot of money. And, you know, I'm able to tithe and do these things. And it's got to be more than that. Because Yahweh can bring money from anywhere. And I say that every time. If we need $10,000 to build a building somewhere, right? For brethren, a congregational hall. I tell them, Yahweh can bring one person who can give you $10,000 offering. Or Yahweh can bring 10,000 people who can give $1 each. It's up to him. And if he doesn't bring it, then we just wait. You wait on it. I learned that a long, long time ago with mission trips. You know, and all kinds of things. That if the money isn't there, you just wait on Yahweh. And he's provided in ways that you can't imagine. You know, when the time is right. So we got to stop thinking, you know, that somehow if we're not making a lot of money, it's out of our control. Because it's not. You know, money is one aspect. And like I said, sometimes money can be a blessing. And there are people in the congregation that Yahweh has blessed them with to make money, and their money helps brethren. So I'm not saying that mammon and money in every case is bad. What I'm saying is, if it's taking you away from Yahweh, if it's putting you in a bad environment, you know, if you have to work with people day in and day out that use bad language and are bad influence on you, you know, and maybe even trying to tempt you to do bad things, then it's not worth it. So that's why I'm saying, are you sure it's a blessing? Are you sure it's a blessing? This is what you have to ask yourself about this. Jacob 4, starting in verse 1. He says, from where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? And one thing is, if you're allowing Satan to trick you this way, and you're doing things only for mammon, and you're in a bad environment, it will affect your whole life. It will affect your moods. It will affect everything. So you're going to affect the other people around you. The same way if you were a drug addict or alcoholic or whatever. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. Because everything that you're doing that is against the word of Yahweh will affect the people that you're around, right? So that's why he's saying, from where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not your lust warring in your members, right? It's not coming from nowhere. It's coming from somebody's doing something wrong. You covet and yet you do not have. You murder and you are jealous and you're not able to possess. You fight and you strive and you have nothing because you do not ask, right? You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lusts. And sometimes people are saying that. Well, why don't we have more, you know, sometimes an unconverted mate may be with you. Why don't we have more money? Why don't we have more this? Why don't we have more that? But it's not out of a spirit to serve Yahweh. It's not that, hey, if we had more money, we'd be giving it to Yahweh or helping the brethren. It's for, you know, prideful, lustful, and selfish reasons. And look what he says, adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship of the world is hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim, right? So don't think that you're taking one for the team when this happens, you know. Or do you not know vainly, the scripture says, pride in us, lust with envy. And I've had this happen even with baptism, you know, that a new person will write and they want to be baptized. And then all of a sudden, as you're counseling with them, you realize that they work in a job that sometimes they may have to work on Sabbath. And you tell them, I can't do that. If I baptize you when you know that if you get a call from your job next week, you're going to go into work, I'm baptizing you to your death. Because if you willfully sin after the full knowledge of the truth and you're baptized, you're being baptized to your death, not to eternal life. And I've had people be so angry and upset, you know, and say, oh, you think you're self-righteous? Well, I'll take the money and I won't keep it. I'll give the money away. And it's like, man, what do you think? Yahweh's a prostitute? You think he needs your cash? That you're going to violate the Sabbath? You're going to work on the Sabbath and think you'll just donate the money just so you don't lose your job? That's why I say, are you sure it's a blessing? You could always get another job. And that's what I always thought. I worked my own business a lot of my life. I also worked many jobs. And to me, a job was a job. When I worked it, I gave 150% of myself. I did everything I could to help, to serve. It had nothing to do how much I was being paid. But at the same rate, when I saw the environment was bad, or I saw that that job was not conducive to my spiritual life, it was goodbye. Because I always knew it was first in my life. And that's my spiritual life in Yahweh and my relationship with Him. So you can't have that Laodicean spirit and think that, okay, I know I'm doing something wrong, but something good will come out of it. You know, I'm doing it to, you know, to help my family. I'm doing it to give to the brethren more. You can't do it. If something, you know, unless Yahweh builds the house, the weary builders build in vain. And if your work is not conducive, you know, the environment and the work itself to the spirit of Yahweh and to His word, then look out. You're getting yourself in trouble. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 4. And you won't be happy. You won't be happy either. And to be honest, most of the people that I've seen that this has happened to, over the years, I've seen, you know, a number of people come from the third world and get a job in Babylon. And I would kind of warn them, Yahweh's telling people, get out of Babylon, you know, that's what you want to do, get out of there, maybe go to the third world and learn something. And I could tell you so far, in every case that this has happened, not only were the people wind up unhappy, in every case they left the congregation, you know. And then something that started out as, okay, they were only going to be there a couple of months, wind up, they stayed permanently. You know, they wind up marrying somebody there. And it's not a good situation when you're in a bad environment. And there you're, you know, Yahweh's saying, leave the land of Babylon, and you're going to Babylon. So it's not a good situation when somebody does that. And look at Solomon, the richest man that ever lived. And was he happy? I don't know. I don't think so. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 4. I made my works great. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted trees in them for every fruit. I made pools of water for myself to water from the forest shooting trees. I bought slaves and slave girls, and the sons of the houses were mine. Also livestock, a herd, and great flock were mine, above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered to me silver and gold and treasures of kings and of provinces. I made ready male singers and female singers for myself, and the delights of the sons of men, a concubine and concubines. And I became great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom stayed with me. And all that my eyes desired, I did not set aside from them. I withheld not my heart from all joy, for my heart rejoiced from all my labor, and this was my part from all my labor. And then I faced with all my works that my hands had done, and on the labor that I had labored to do, right? So what do you think now? After everything, this guy, what a great life. He's probably saying, I am the most blessed man on the face of the earth. But look what he says. And lo, all of it was vanity in striving after wind, and there is no profit under the sun. Wow. So he says all of it is simply vanity. Verse 17. So then I hated life because the work that is done under the sun is evil to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind. So here's a person that was the wisest man that ever lived, but because he put his life not on serving Yahweh, but on serving himself, at the end of his life as he's writing this, what is he saying? He's the most miserable person and unhappy because you will never be happy just serving yourself. It doesn't matter how much you get. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how many houses and clothes and all the other things. Life is not about that. Life is about relationships. First, your relationship with Yahweh, because if your relationship with Yahweh isn't right, nothing is going to be right, period. And second, your relationship with people, you know, that are made in Yahweh's image. So this is what life is all about. And if you're only seeking the physical blessings, they're never going to make you happy. And that's why I said, who are the most miserable people on the earth today? The richest. Look at Hollywood. Look at, you know, so many actors and sports players and so many other things. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, but if our good news is being hidden, it is being hidden to those who are lost, to those whose eyes have been blinded by, again, the God of this world, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. So that's what happens, right? They're being deceived by the God of this world. And you got to make sure, you know, like I said, are you sure it's a blessing? Is this really coming from Yahweh? Because he does give material blessings. I don't want to take away from that, you know. But a lot of times, it's not Yahweh giving that blessing. If it's putting you in a bad environment, If it's taking away where you don't have time for prayer and study, you know, if you're working a job that is just, you know, a bad job, you know, or if it's, like I said, as simple as moving into a new apartment and it's just a bad neighborhood. Maybe the price is really good, but maybe the neighborhood is terrible. So we have to ask ourselves, Satan is the author of commercial Babylon, and he can give physical things from his kingdom to entice people to follow him. It's that simple. I want to prove this to you. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. Because it's not only in end time Babylon that Satan has this power. We saw it from the Garden of Eden. And Satan has always used commercialism and trading in order to entice people. This is not something new. This is something that has been going on for 6,000 years. But in the time we're living in now, because of technology and all these different things and internet, he's able to do it 24/7. And we got to make sure we're not allowing him to entice us in these ways. So let me just prove to you first that Ezekiel 28 is indeed talking about Satan. Ezekiel 28, verse 1 and 2. And the word of Yahweh was to me saying, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, right? So says Adonai Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you had said, I am an El. I sit in the seat of Elohim in the heart of the seas, right? Where is this coming from? Isaiah 14. This is Satan. This is not a man now, as we know in the end time. And that's why when people say, who do you think the anti-Messiah is going to be? Will it be King Charles? Will it be Juan Carlos of Spain? Will it be, you know, Bill Gates? It doesn't matter what body he's in. It's Satan. It's the spirit of Satan that's in him. And this is Satan. He says, I am an El. I sit in the seat of Elohim in the heart of the seas, right? And what does Elohim say? Yet you are a man and not an El, though you give your heart as the heart of Elohim. So he says, you know, you think you're an El, but you're not. You're not. You're nothing. Drop down to verse 13. Is he talking about Satan for sure? Absolutely. You have been in Eden, right? The garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of your tambourines and your pipes in you. In the day you were created, they were prepared, right? He is the first musician. You were the cherub that protected with your outstretched wings. And I put you in the holy mountain of Elohim where you were. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This is certainly talking about Satan. You were perfecting your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. So there's no doubt this is definitely talking about Satan. So let's see what else he says then. What else? How did Satan become corrupted? Go back to verse 4 and verse 5. With your wisdom, right? Just like we talked about in Genesis 3, the wisdom, with your wisdom and with your understanding, you have made riches for yourself. Sounds a lot like Solomon. And have worked gold and silver into your treasuries. But your great wisdom, by your trade, you have multiplied your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Right? So this isn't a good thing. This is the way that Satan was beautiful. He was the covering cherub, right? He was the top musician. And by all these things that he had, it only brought pride and vanity. Look at verse 16. By the multitude of your trade, they filled your midst with violence, and you sinned. So I cast you profound from the mountain of Elohim, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from among the stones of fire. Right? Why? By the multitude of your trade. Why is Satan in the end time using commercial Babylon? Because that's what he's done. That's what he's done for 6,000 years. Go back to chapter 27. We'll see the same thing. In verse 22, did he also entice, you know, other people? Absolutely. The merchants of Sheba and Rama were your merchants, with the chief of all the spices, with every precious stone and gold they gave for your wares. Haran and Canaan, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, Kilmad were your merchants. They were your merchants in perfect things, in violet cloth and embroidered work, and in carpets of many colors, and tightly bound cords and cedars among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were the travelers of your goods. Right? He had a big system going here. And a lot of money was being made, and a lot of people were being enticed from the Garden of Eden to these days here, and in the end time, even more. And you were filled and made very glorious in the heart of the seas. Your row has made you come in great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the seas. Your wealth and your wares and your goods, your seamen and your sail are making strong your seams. And the traders of your goods and all the men of war who are in you and all the assembly in your midst shall fall into the heart of the seas in the day of your ruin, right? End time Babylon and commercial Babylon are going to fall. And that's what Yahweh is saying. So Satan controls the merchants through his worldwide Babylonian trading system. Don't be enticed by it. Revelation 18. And the second part of the verse, right, was it say, for your merchants were the great ones of the earth, right? Merck and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and all of these big companies that are out there. Your merchants were the great ones of the earth, Amazon, right? For by your sorceries all the nations were deceived, right? The pharmakia. And we went to that many times. I'm not going to go into that now. But just another way, these great merchants of the earth, these people like Bill Gates that are evil, that are demonic, that are Klaus Schwab, that are running a lot of things from the economic side, they're being definitely controlled by Satan from the top. This is something that's coming from the top. Matthew 24 and verse 32. It says, but learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, know it is near at the doors. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass until all these things have occurred, right? So we know it's all coming in one generation, and actually in really 3.5 years, 42 months is the main thing that comes in the end time. But like he says, watch the fig tree. And we've been watching it for almost 75 years. Israel is the fig tree. And unfortunately, even in Israel, which is one of the greatest miracles in our time, you know, that after 2,520 years of captivity, Yahweh has made Israel a nation again. All the things he's doing with Israel in the end time, Judah being back in the land. And yet everything in Israel is about money and marketing. Just about everything there. Tens of thousands of tour guides and guides to gift shops selling trinkets, souvenirs, charging to enter biblical sites. And then when you go in, they keep you there just to sell, you know, because they're getting money from it, from these stores. And something in a store that should cost about $5, they're charging you 30, 40, 50 bucks. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that's one of the main reasons why several years back I decided not to be doing that anymore over there. Everything has a price. in Israel. And unfortunately, the rabbis and the politicians are the worst. You know, the rabbis are actually selling little red threads with false prayers on it. And, you know, that is witchcraft. And selling them to people. Give me money, you know, I give you this. And like I said, they're the worst. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. So Israel is a little Babylon. You know, like they say, America is the big Satan and Israel is the little Satan. America is the big Babylon and Jerusalem, Israel is the little Babylon. At least in the times we're living in right now. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, because it's all about commercialism. Like I said, not to take away from the great thing that Yahweh is doing there in the end time and the redemption of the country. Believe me, I'm 100% behind that. But it's the commercialism. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10 says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are not circumcised and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of Yahweh is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. They have no delight in it. Drop down to verse 13. For everyone from the least of them to the greatest of them cuts off a prophet. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the break of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And here it is. All these years later, still no peace there. Were they ashamed when they made an abomination? They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know to blush. So they shall fall among those who fall. At that time I visit them, they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. So says Yahweh, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, right? Ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest to your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I raised watchmen to you, saying, listen to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not listen. You know, we, even the ram's horn, you blow the horn when trouble is coming. So hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, that which is coming on them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, for they have not listened to my words and my Torah. They have also rejected it. So he says, hear, O earth, because this is something that's coming on the whole earth. It's not just Israel. It's not just Babylon, U.S., it's everywhere, because everybody is part of commercial Babylon. Everybody is part of the commercial Babylon. So the whole land and the system of Babylon they've accepted is corrupt. So what are we to do? Revelation 18:4, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. We are to stay out of that system, not be part of it. Jacob 4 and verse 13. Jacob 4 and verse 13 says, come now, those saying, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and we will spend 1 year there and we will trade and prosper, right? Making all these big plans who do not know what will happen tomorrow, right? For what is your life? It is a vapor which appears for a little and then it disappears. Nobody knows if we'll live one more day on this earth. Instead, you should say, if Yahweh wills, even we will live and we will do this and that. And I say it all the time. But now you boast in your presumptions. All such pride is evil, right? So you've got to look at the will of Yahweh. You can't just be making these plans, you know? You have to look at, is this Yahweh's will? You know, and it's the will of Yahweh that you have to look at to see. So in the end time system of Mammon, people spend much time in prayer for Mammon instead of simply trusting in Yahweh's will. So many times it's just better to share the situation in prayer with Yahweh and simply say, your will be done. And I'll tell you something. You know, we're living in the time of the prosperity good news, right? They call it the gospel, the prosperity gospel. And what do they say? Name it and claim it. And a lot of these evangelical pastors will say, you know, that not only should you tell, you know, pray to Yahweh, you know, then Elohim, they call them the different word, G-O-D, that you want a car, but you should pray that you want a Cadillac. You know, you pray for the best. And I say the opposite. I say, don't even pray for a car. If you need to get somewhere, if you need to get to work, or you need to get to the feast, or you need to get somewhere, just pray to Yahweh for that. Pray to him that you need transportation. And let him decide. Maybe he will get your car. You know, or maybe he'll have somebody drive you there. Or you know what? Maybe he'll have one of his cherubs translate you. So when you're telling Yahweh what you want, number one, you're taking away his blessing to give you what you need. Because you don't always get what you want, but you do always get what you need. So don't you think Yahweh knows better than you do? that you're going to tell him, oh, you know, Father, I need a car. I need a new car. And to tell him you need a Cadillac on top of that. But this is what I'm saying. This is the mindset of commercial Babylon. And it's evil. And you know what? The G.O.D. of this world maybe just may give you that Cadillac. And there is a person that will be sitting there thinking they got it from Elohim, but they got it from the wrong Elohim. They got it from the G.O.D. of this world. They didn't get it from Yahweh, you know, the Elohim of heaven. So we really need to be thinking of. That's why I said this is a really a sermon you need to be praying about and thinking about, because the answer may not come immediately, you know, but pray to Yahweh and he will give it to you. And I'll give you an example here. Isaiah 38, because like they say, watch what you pray for sometimes. You may just get it. Now, Isaiah 38 is about Hezekiah. Remember, good king. King Hezekiah was a really good king. But something happens here where he's finding out he's going to die, and look what happens. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death. And Isaiah, the son of Amos, the prophet, came to him and said to him, so says Yahweh, command your house, for you are dying and shall not live. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to Yahweh. And said, O Yahweh, I beg you to remember now that I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart. And I have done the good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept with a great weeping. Then the word of Yahweh was to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your days. So again, you know, instead of just praying to Yahweh, he asked for, you know, he prays there for, you know, for more time, and Yahweh gives it to him. And what happens from here? What happens from here is his son that's born after this winds up being the very worst king Israel ever had and caused so much death and destruction. And I'll show you there. 2 Kings 21 and verse 10, it's King Manasseh. 2 Kings 21 and verse 10. He says, and I'm in 1 Kings. 2 Kings 21 and verse 10. And Yahweh spoke by his servants the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, has done these abominations, doing more wickedly than all the Amorites did before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I am bringing evil on Jerusalem and Judah, so that whoever hears of it, his two ears will tingle. And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and shall wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish. He wipes it and turns it on its face. And I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and give them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall be for a prey and for a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my eyes and have provoked me to anger from the day their fathers came out of Egypt even to this day. And also Manasseh has shed very much innocent blood, till he has filled Jerusalem from mouth to mouth, apart from his sin that he caused Judah to sin, to do evil in the eyes of Yahweh. And he was sacrificing children, all kinds of evil things. So here it is, you know, that Hezekiah's prayer, which was answered, he winds up having the most evil king that ever lived. And do you think that 15 years made a difference in his life? No. You know, look at Yeshua. Yeshua lived till the age of around 33, and he had the most important life of anyone that ever lived. And that's a short life, right? So it's not always the longevity, right? The quantity, but the quality. And nothing wrong with praying to Yahweh when you're sick or getting anointed or whatever, like I said, but not giving him the alternative, not telling him. Let him know the need and let him decide how he's going to fill that need. We should not tempt Yahweh with seeking mammon of this world, but we should be focusing on and praying for spiritual blessings to do our job and bear fruit for the kingdom. Like I said, how much of your prayer time is on physical things and how much is on spiritual? How much is on the nine fruits of the Spirit? How much are we asking him for those fruits for the end time work? How much are we praying for myself and the elders and the end time work of Yahweh that's going out? We cannot allow Satan to give false blessings of mammon that can either violate the word of Yahweh or keep you so busy and occupied that you're not fulfilling his will in your life, right? You don't want to have a covetous spirit. So we want to make sure, because like I said, Yahweh does give physical blessings, but we really want to pray about it, even fast about it if it's a big, big thing. And ask him, because we don't want to make sure it's not violating the word of Yahweh or keeping you so busy and occupied that you're not fulfilling his will in your life. And I know one time a woman that came up to me when we were living in Jerusalem, and she said that Yahweh told her to go shopping on Sabbath because her attitude was so bad. He said, your attitude is so bad, you might as well go shopping. And I told her, I said, you weren't here from Yahweh. You were here from Satan, because Yahweh will never, ever, ever tell you to do something that's going to violate his word, you know. So that's what I'm trying to say. You know, if the word of Yahweh says, leave the land of Babylon, you know, it's pretty doubtful that he's going to give blessings to keep somebody there when he's telling you to leave. If Yahweh's word is telling you one thing, right? If he's telling you to stay sanctified from the world and not be part of it, do you really think he's going to give you a job in the middle of all that? In the middle of commercial Babylon? In the middle of things that you're going to be in a bad environment or more of a better environment? So this is why you really have to ask yourself, you know, is it really a blessing? Because in the long run, like I said, I've seen it, sorry to say, it can take away your eternal life, you know. So you need a place to live. And there it is, you find a place. And maybe it's even a little cheaper than the last place. But like I said, environment is everything. You better know who your neighbors are. You better know what's going on in that place before you make that decision. Because Yahweh is not double-minded. When he says something, he means it. And sometimes people are putting out fleeces when you don't have to put out a fleece. You know the word of Yahweh. You know, you don't have to put out a fleece on whether to go shopping at the mall on the Sabbath. You don't have to put out a fleece for that. You could put out fleeces for things you don't know, or maybe, like I said, maybe taking a job, or maybe moving, or maybe doing something else. But if it's something that's clearly defiling the word of Yahweh, or defiling your life, or taking away your sanctification, then there's no need to put out a fleece that's out there for that. Acts 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, but a certain man named Kananiah with his wife Sapphira sold a property and kept back from the price. His wife also aware of it, and bringing certain part, she put it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Kananiah, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back from the price of the land? So now, right, here's a situation where they're selling their land, right? And all they had to do is give 10% of the increase. That's all that they're required to do. They don't have to give all of the money. But other people were selling lands and giving all the money for the work of Yahweh. So they didn't want to look cheap in the eyes of people. So it's not because they didn't give them all the money that they got cursed. Because look what Peter says in verse 4. Was it not yours before it was sold? And after it was sold again, were you not in control over the proceeds, right? You could have given the 10% minimum, 20%, whatever. Why have you placed in your heart to do this spectacle? Why have you lied in the presence of men? You have not lied in the presence of men, but in the presence of Elohim, right? So why'd they have to lie about it? And hearing these words, Kananiah fell down and died, and great fear came on all those who heard. So here's the situation again where, you know, money was not a blessing to them in this case because their attitude was wrong. Their attitude was wrong. And again, they didn't have to give all of it. That wasn't the reason why they died. They died because they lied about it. They got a blessing, and instead of just being fair with the blessing and saying, hey, we're going to give this much, but you know, we're going to hold back this much, you know, for our living conditions or whatever, which would have been fine, they lied about it. And the blessing, their attitude was terrible, and the money wasn't a blessing. And the attitude wasn't to serve Yahweh. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. I'll read 10 through 14 and then drop down to verse 17. Deuteronomy verse 8. He says, and you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim in the good land which he has given to you. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget Yahweh your Elohim, so as not to keep his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. That when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built goodly houses and have lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold have multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then it rises in your heart, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves. Verse 17, that you not saying your heart, my power and the might of my hand have made for me this wealth, right? So he's not warning us in trial not to forget Yahweh, because in trial we always remember Yahweh, right? When we pray to him and usually get closer to him. But he's warning us not to forget him in excess of physical goods. When things are going good. So that's the, like I said, in commercial Babylon, we always think that a raise at work, more money, a better job, you know, more vacation time or more a better insurance, that they're always a blessing. We always think if something physical is being given to us, it's a blessing, and it's not. Physical things can be a blessing. Yes, they can, but they're not always a blessing. You have to look at how, because everything is a scale in life, right? And you have to look, how is it going to affect the spiritual side, you know? And if it's going to affect the spiritual side, and it's going to make your spiritual life worse, I counsel with well over 100 people every year on these kind of subjects. And people ask me, what do I think? And it's very simple, you know? I mean, not that it's wrong to ask for my opinion, I'm happy to give it. But you could figure it out yourself. All you have to do, and this is what I tell people every time, make a list of the pros and make a list of the cons. And then if you look at that with your own two eyes, you could very easily tell. But make sure the cons on there have to do with spiritual things, right? It's not just, well, I'm going to be another 10 minutes to drive to work or this and that. No. If the cons are taking away from your family time, your prayer and your study life, you know, the work of Yahweh, of ministry, then you really have to weigh it in the balance and see what it is that Yahweh wants, right? So we're not warned during the trials because we don't forget Yahweh. We're warned not to forget him because pride starts to come in too, like I read in the book of Jacob, how you start to think it's all coming from yourself, and it will affect you. It will affect you. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. He says, if anyone teaches differently and does not consent to sound words, those of our Master Yeshua Messiah and to the doctrine of the fear of Elohim. He is proud, understanding nothing, but harps upon the use of a word concerning doubts and arguments. And this is the cause of envy and controversy, evil speaking, evil suspicions, meddling of men whose mind has been corrupted and deprived of the truth, who think that worshiping of Elohim is for worldly gain. Keep away from such people. But our gain is greater contentment, for it is the worship of Elohim, right? So, like I tell the story with my uncle, who had a big effect on my life and helped me a lot when I was younger and setting goals and doing things. And a couple of years ago, you know, when I saw him, I said to him, you know, Uncle so-and-so, I said, I realized that life, that happiness, you know, that success is not wanting more, but being satisfied with less. And he sat there and he kind of thought about it. And then he said, yeah, that's what I always said. But it wasn't what he always said. But it is true, you know, that happiness is not in wanting more or gaining more. It's in being content. It's being satisfied with less. Because when we really think about it in life, we need very little for contentment in life if your relationship with Yahweh is right. Man, if you have that, that fills up every single aspect of your life. But our gain is greater contentment, for it is the worship of Elohim. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is plain that neither can we carry anything out. But having food and clothing, let us be satisfied with these, right? Having food and clothing. It doesn't even say rain, you know, doesn't even say house, shelter. It just says food and clothing. Let us be satisfied with these. And you know what? Even though we're all human beings, even though especially as we get older, we know we can die tomorrow. You know, or like the Bible says, if you're blessed, you know, maybe you have 70 years, and if you're strong, maybe 80 years. But we all know the time goes fast, and we all know we're going to die. We all know we're going to be in that box in the ground one day. And yet, instead of people looking at this and being content with it, they still can't. They want more for what? Because you know what happens? They're going to die, and somebody's going to take all their junk and get rid of it. I see it all the time in America. You always see these yard sales. And it's so sad, you know, that somebody that maybe lived a good life and was a good person and really responsible and you know, and had all these things, and then all of a sudden they die and the kids come before the funeral is even over. And they're just selling all of this stuff off, personal things that were there. And it's sad, but it's true. For those purposing to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all evil, by means of which some have lusted after it were seduced from the faith. After it were seduced from the faith, and they themselves pierced through by many pains. And like I said, I've seen this in Babylon. One was even an elder, you know, that got in debt, wound up thinking he was going to come to Babylon and work for a few months just to get out of debt, and wow, wound up leaving the faith, working on Sabbath, and just sad, sad situation, right? But it's the truth. Many foolish and hurtful lusts which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of many is a root of all evil, by means of which some, having lusted after it, were seduced from the faith, and they themselves pierced through by many things. But you, O man of Elohim, flee these things. Flee these things and pursue righteousness, holiness, kadosh, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things, the fruits of the Spirit. This is what we should be seeking after. Not mammon. Not mammon, right? We are corrupted creatures of our human nature, and we must understand that Satan will tempt us with mammon. And it is a temptation. You know, it will be a temptation. That's the reason why I decided to never take a salary as an elder, because I never wanted it to be a temptation. No different than any other person. So decided, no, you know, I'm not going to get tempted in that way. We're creatures of habit. Our human nature, you know, Satan understands it, and he will tempt you with mammon. That's why, especially now, as the global beast power system and the mark of the beast is being set up, that we have to come out of commercial Babylon, I keep saying, and keep our focus on overcoming. Because you have no idea how little time is left. What if the mark of the beast comes in the next 6 months, and you've been putting all this time into working more and doing all these things and all this stuff that Satan, you think, is a blessing in commercial Babylon, and boom, now the mark of the beast comes and you're not ready for it. Spiritually, you're not ready for it. What are you going to do then? Maybe you'll take it, and maybe you'll con yourself to think it's not, because maybe it'll be a little different than what we thought. Maybe it's not a chip, right? Maybe it is only the QR code without the chip, and people will do it and they'll stay part of the system and kid themselves, you know, with the Laodicean spirit, that all is good. We have to keep our focus on overcoming, bearing fruit, and our relationship with Yahweh, not on money and worldly goods. At this point, like I said, after 5,900 and maybe 93 years, we're at that last couple of years, it is not the time to be thinking about mammon. You know, it is not the time. It's the time to be thinking about spiritually overcoming. It's the overcomers that make the kingdom, not the ones that have more mammon. Proverbs 30, I'm not going to read it, but Proverbs 30, 7 and 9, I'm just going to, kind of condense it. It says, you know, Elohim, don't make me too rich to forget you or too poor to steal. Elohim, don't make me too rich to forget you or too poor to steal, right? That's the better thing. You don't need too much mammon, but you certainly don't want to be too poor that you don't have food, right? So you want to be right there in the middle. And 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, we're almost finished here. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. Because, you know, you don't need a lot of mammon. Yahweh doesn't call for the most part. And so like I said, sometimes he does call people that maybe have physical things that they're using it to help the brethren. That is a great thing, especially if they have the maturity to do it. Because there's other people that have had money and possessions and whatever, and they're not helping anybody but themselves, right? But usually he doesn't. You don't see a lot of rich people in the congregation. You don't see a lot of politicians. You don't see a lot of famous, you know, athletes and these kind of things, because of the pride of people. You know, like I just read in Deuteronomy 8, that people, they think that they've done it on their own. Look what he says. For consider your own calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to worldly things, nor many mighty, nor many noble birth, right? You don't see many princes and kings in the congregation. But Elohim chose the foolish ones of the world, that the wise might be put to shame. And Elohim chose the weak ones of the world, so that he might put to shame the strong things. And I always say to Father, thank you, Father. Thank you that I'm just weak enough and just naive enough that I believed it, right? Thank you for that weakness. And he has chosen those of humble families of the world and the lowly and them who are insignificant in order to belittle them who think themselves important. so that no flesh might boast in his presence. And praise Yahweh for that, because here we are. You know, the weak of the world, you know, the misfits. That's what we are, right? But praise him for that, that he could use misfits like us, and he could change our lives, and he could fill us with his spirit and do a mighty work that he's doing. So we have to think about that, you know, that he doesn't, don't think you need to be doing all this extra work and extra stuff for extra money if it's taking away from your spiritual life, because you don't. Matthew 6 and verse 33, last scripture here. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Physical things such as job, money, houses, and cars, they can be a blessing from Yahweh. They really can, and sometimes they are. But they can also be temptations from the enemy in the time we're living in. Boy, you don't want to make the wrong choice. You certainly don't, because it can take away your eternal life. The key is seeking first the kingdom, right? Every decision has to be on the kingdom first. So when you're weighing that out, like I said, when you're weighing out in that balance, you have to think to yourself, is that job better for your spiritual life? Is it bringing you closer to your spiritual goals? Or is it only mammon, more mammon that's coming from there? The house you're going to move into, is it going to help your spiritual goals? Or is it only, you know, a better house, a bigger house that's going to make everybody more comfortable? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all the rest will be given. The key is seeking first the kingdom, having our priorities straight, never compromising, and keeping a proper environment that is conducive to serve Yahweh. Environment is 90% of your battle. So whether it's work, whether it's where you're living, whether it's your friends, whatever it is, you want to make sure, especially the time we're going in now, because like I said, in a very short time from now, there may be no more internet for you if you don't take the mark of the beast or anything else. And you want to make sure that your environment and the people you're with are conducive to overcoming and getting you into the kingdom of Yahweh. So I ask you one more time, are you sure it's a blessing? You decide. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.